The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. One or two words by way of introduction as a tribute to you who are in Bible studies or reflecting on the Bible. And I know there are many of you who are involved in discovery of the meaning of the Scriptures in a deeper way because you write to me and you tell me about it. This event takes place at Caesarea Philippi. It's mentioned in all three synoptic gospels, in Mark chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 9. However, in chapter 16 here of Matthew, it's different in the sense that all three have Peter's confession of his faith, Son of the Living God. However, only Matthew adds this narrative saying, "You are Simon, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell." That's only in Luke, and it's very interesting. It needs attention. This takes place at a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is today named Banias. It's about 40 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. And around the Sea of Galilee, you have Nazareth and Cana, Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, Bethsaida, all the places where Jesus spends most of his public life is around the sea. Caesarea Philippi is about 40 miles north, close to the border of the Lebanon. This is where the River Jordan rises on Mount Hermon. So Caesarea Philippi is in the foothills of Mount Hermon, and today it's called Banias. It's a very, very scenic place. There's a public park there. It's quite lovely. Banias is a mutation of Panias, since that place before Christ was dedicated to the god Pan. In the lexicon of gods, Pan is the god of nature, of the wild. He's god of creation. Interestingly, he's also the god of shepherds, the nomadic shepherds. Pan is their god, a very powerful god. And there are all sorts of inscriptions even today left to remember their dedication there to the god Pan. There was a temple there to Pan. And interestingly enough, some scholars mention a cave, an entrance to a cave, which they believed in the pagan times was an entrance to the underworld, to the netherworld, to Hades. Keep that in mind now. It's the rock of Pan, the god Pan, and the underworld, the gods of the underworld here. So when Jesus says, Peter, on this rock, not that rock, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the underworld of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and so forth. So the power of the keys. This became very much a discussion, by the way, in the time of the Reformation, when the reformers said, the Pope is not the successor of Peter. He does not have the power given to Peter at Caesarea Philippi. But that's another discussion. I want to search something deeper. I'm always following these scriptures with an exercise in imagination to look at something that's not so obvious, something deeper in the scriptures. So let me journey with you to interpret the teaching of this moment in a deeper way, which is probably easy to miss. Elie Wiesel, in his book, Souls on Fire, which is a reflection on the tradition of the master rabbis in the Hasidic Judaism, since his grandfather was a rabbi in the Hasidic tradition, he is very familiar with it. And this is a wonderful book on the master rabbis of this Hasidic tradition. He makes one very interesting, subtle, but essential point. And he says, a story can only be understood, can only be heard, and can only be told from inside the story. The story can only be heard from the inside, and it can be told only from the inside. Now, sometimes people say to me, when you're giving your homilies, I thought you were talking directly to me, which is an indication that somewhere, whatever I'm saying, it's coming from inside the story. Or sometimes when you're telling somebody about something in your life, they'll say, the same thing happened to me. Therefore, we meet inside the story. Let me give you a few examples of this. When 9/11 happened, it wasn't just in New York. 9/11 affected every one of us. It happened in every city, every town in our country. It united our country. We were all wounded by this. We all admired the first responders as if they belonged to our family, our communities. Somehow we belonged to the inside of the story. It wasn't something happened in China. It happened to us. We were wounded people. We lived this story. We were inside the story. We felt a great compassion for the victims. Even yet, when we go to New York, we go to the remembrance because it somehow, it belongs to us. We are inside the story of 9/11. Another example, for instance, is George Floyd, the killing of George Floyd. We saw this over and over on TV, over and over again. And it was so prolonged, it was so incredibly painful and incredibly sad that somehow it touched each one of us. It's as if he was a member of our family. There was something about this moment that we became part of the story. We were inside the story. It was not something that happened in Africa. It was something that happened in our communities, in our world. It belonged to us, and it somehow touched a nerve inside of us so much that we belonged to the story. We heard it on the inside. Reading the life of Rembrandt, he died in 1669. He was just 63 years old. He had a tragic life. With all his fame and fortune, both his wives died. Of his five children, four of his five children died. He became a wealthy man at one point in his life, but he squandered his wealth. And in the last few years of his life, he was a pauper. He lost everything. When he died, he was buried in a pauper's grave, an unmarked grave. So he went from fame to anonymity. He went from wealth to poverty. He squandered everything. He was bankrupt. He had to sell his house. So a few years before he died, when he was in this trauma, he painted one of his most famous and powerful masterpieces called The Return of the Prodigal Son. How is it so sensitive and so insightful, this incredible painting, familiar to many of you? Because he belonged to the story. He painted this from the inside of the story. It happened to him. So back to Peter. When Peter says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." And then he says to him, "But don't tell anybody that I am the Christ." Why does he say that? Because Peter is not inside the story yet. Until he doubts, until he fails, until he has to be reconciled, until he faces his own emptiness and his own humanity and his poverty, he doesn't understand the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you'll see that in next Sunday's gospel. They reject anything about suffering and death, and resurrection will come later. He's not inside the story, so he cannot proclaim the story. We all have this experience where you know somebody, and then something alarming happens, and you say, "Wow, I thought I knew this person." Well, you didn't. You were not inside the story of that person's life. It's why family is so incredibly beautiful. Because the parents, no matter how difficult children are, no matter how much they challenge the love of the parents, the love of the parents is never wanting. Parents may have to struggle with their children, but their love is invincible. They live inside the story. That's why marriage, long-term marriage, where people really know from the inside the story of one another, and yet they love one another. It's not the image they love, it's not the romance they love, it's something inside the story. The only place you can hear the story and the only place you can tell the story is from inside. These days, we've been hearing a lot of confessions. And when somebody comes to confession to a priest, they invite me into their story. It's not something superficial now. The depth of who they are, the poverty of who they are, the weakness of who they are, the humanity. They invite me into the inside of their story. And the only way in which I can be a confessor, and the only way in which I can witness Jesus Christ, I must meet them as a sinner, not as a judge, not as somebody to correct you, but somebody to belong to you. I have to be the wounded healer. I have to hear you through the echoes of who I am myself. Otherwise, I don't connect with your story. I have to hear it from the inside, which means I must hear it from my own story inside. And that's the place in which we meet. That's what's missing here with Peter. He doesn't know the inside story of Jesus, and therefore he cannot proclaim it. And then someday, perhaps each and every one of us will touch a confessional moment in our lives. We'll face the depth of our own weakness and our own poverty and our own selfishness. We will find the depth of our brokenness. And we will hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Don't you know? Don't you know how much I love you? Don't you know that it was for you that I suffered and I died and I rose to call you to new life? Don't you know that you are infinitely loved? There is never a question that you are blessed and you are loved, irrespective of your failures." We hear the echoes of the 49th chapter of Isaiah the prophet. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast or abandon the child of her womb? Even if she should forget, I will not forget you. See, your name is carved on the palms of my hands, the Lord says in the prophet Isaiah. Someplace we arrive in our spiritual journey where we come to the Lord in our humanity and we find that Jesus belongs in the inside story of who I am. And only when I discover that, only then will I hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Do not go out and proclaim Jesus. Go forth and speak to the world from the inside the power of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, the gift, the belonging, the revelation of who Jesus truly is. Because now we have met Jesus inside the story." Amen.